Hey y'all, Red Mullet here. Normally at this point, Papa Lonnie says something about how ain't none of this real, and then says a derogatory comment of some sort, but today is different. We got us a real live one on the line, and I think you're gonna like it. So, let's get on with the show. Growing and falling in the back, so savage and so free. All right, welcome back to the Red Mullet Podcast. We got a very special call-in guest with us on the podcast today. He's not of our usual guest type ilk, but he is promoting his new book, and he asked if he could come on to talk about it, so we said sure. This might come as a surprise to most of you if you're not real familiar with my background, but I went through a considerable ska kid phase when I was coming up through high school, as you do. Oh yeah, skater shoes, graphic tees, the works, you know. Pawpaw Lonnie was always telling me to turn that racket down, but I kept at it. I even won concert tickets from a local radio station to a show in Louisville one year. It was at a skating rink, if I recall, and the band that was headlining was none other than One Five Iron Frenzy. Man, what a time. Skanking and sweating with a bunch of other kids. Whole lot of fun. Anyway, all that by way of introduction, because we got with us on the show the one and only Andrew Verdecchio, the talented drummer of that very same band. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. What, do I call you Andrew or Andy, or do you go by your stage persona still?
No, I've shed that stage persona.
Gotcha. All right.
Well, it took a lot of work to get rid of it, but Andy's fine.
Andy, all right. Very good. We got an out-of-work artist that maintains our social networking sites and our website and stuff. His name's Andrew. He just goes by Andrew, so I just want to make sure. And where are you calling us from?
I'm calling you from Denver, Colorado.
Denver, Colorado. Okay.
That's what I thought. Right.
I hadn't spent much time there myself, aside from changing planes one time. You know, I had no idea you could buy skiing equipment at an airport.
And you can buy whiskey to bring on the plane with you, too.
Actually. How about that?
In Denver, they have a liquor store. Like, it's not even the free trade liquor store. It's just a liquor store in the airport. And you can... you can get yourself some whiskey, take on a, you know, on the plane. They say you ain't allowed to, you know, open it up and drink it, but, you know.
Can't partake. You got to save it till you get home. All right.
What they don't know, you know.
Yeah. It depends on which class you're sitting in, I guess. Well, very good. Well, listen, I got to tell you, Upbeats and Beatdowns was the main soundtrack to my adolescent life, you know. And I'll tell you what, when the Phantom Mullet came out, I felt like y'all wrote that just for me, even though I know you didn't. I felt that way. So I just got to throw that out there. And when we did the documentary, we had to put a little snippet of that in there. It just made sense. So yeah, sure enough.
I wrote the music to that one. Reese wrote the lyrics, but I wrote the...
For the Phantom Mullet?
Yeah.
That's some good stuff, man. I love it. All right. Let's get into it here. So first of all, obviously, how's the new Five Iron Frenzy album doing?
Engine of a Million Plots.
That's the newest one that came out a couple years ago, right?
Yeah. Well, several years ago.
Several years. Yeah, I guess it is several years now. Man, time's passing.
It's doing well. You know, we're just now starting to kind of get the ball rolling on another record.
Okay.
This is the first time I'm even actually talking about it.
Heard it here first.
And then that's right. You heard it here first. Because we're all married and we have kids and, you know, full-time jobs and stuff like that, the writing process and stuff like that, I mean, that all just sort of crawls along because you got to work with 8 different people's schedules and stuff like that.
Yeah, more laborious. Okay.
Yeah, we got a fistful of demos, you know, that are feeling pretty good. And I think we're, you know, about ready to start getting the ball rolling on some actual songwriting.
Okay. Good. So you're doing some of that, not quite in the recording studio yet officially then?
Yeah, no, we're not recording yet. We're just kind of tossing around ideas, so to speak, spitballing.
Gotcha. Very nice. And are you doing any touring right now?
Yeah, so we have a show in Portland. Actually, by the time this comes out, by the time your podcast airs, we will have already played these shows, but weekend after 4th of July.
Okay.
We're doing Portland and Seattle with MXPX. Well, Portland we're headlining, and then Seattle with MXPX. That's our
nice
25-year anniversary.
You coming down south to the Mason-Dixon line anytime soon?
Nashville.
When's that coming?
That'll be September.
Okay. All right.
And both of those shows are already sold out. Actually. Man. That's with, it's also with MXPX, and it's two nights in Nashville. Okay. And then in October, we're doing Hollywood and in San Francisco. And we have a very special guest that we haven't announced yet.
Oh, okay. But
it's going to be a very cool special guest. I think a lot of people are going to be very happy.
Okay.
To come see all the right. shows. So.
Well, MXPX, that's pretty special. Them guys used to have some pretty wild shows, if I recall.
They still do.
I had a buddy once who lost a kneecap in a mosh pit at one of their concerts. I think it was in Cleveland or somewhere. Yeah, he's a Walmart greeter now in Dayton, I think. We call him Gimpy Jim. But
Gimpy Jim.
Yeah. But yeah, that's some good times. Those would be good shows, man. Well, so speaking of them shows, when you're touring now, and you mentioned you guys are all older and you got families and stuff, do you recognize that your fans have kind of grown up with you, or you got a lot of young fans now still?
We got a lot of everything, actually. There's some newer fans, some people that I get this a lot. Oh, man, you know what? I got into you guys right after you broke up the first time, this and that. You know, and then there's people like, oh, I saw you guys on the Ska Mania tour or whatever. And I'm so glad you guys are back, you know. And then there's people that bring their kids. Like, it's a little weird to me, and I don't encourage this, but I've seen people bring, like, their newborns to shows. And I'm like, that just seems like an unwise decision to me. I personally would make that decision, but, you know, I want my kids' first show to be Five Iron Frenzy, and, you know.
Indoctrinate them young.
And it's just like, look, man, just don't make poor decisions with your children's health. Just stay up in the balcony or in the back with your kid and make sure they have ear protection on at least.
Yeah, man. So. Absolutely. All right. Well, let's get down to it. You're here to promote your book. It's called, I hope I get it right here, October, Book of Poetry, Derangements and Curiosities. Now, I'm begrudgingly familiar with poetry as a literary type, but what do you mean by derangements and curiosities? Those sound like things you find at a roadside museum.
Right. you know, it sounded better than Andy overshares and writes poems and Shannon paints the pictures, you know?
Okay, all right.
But honestly, no, the majority of the book is poetry. There's some prose and some short stories in there. And I guess the whole idea behind derangements and curiosities is I like horror.
Okay.
And I like the macabre and the dark side of things. You know?
All right.
And so that's where the derangements come from, because I'm sort of a deranged individual. And curiosities, I guess, is more or less just I like to ask questions, and I like to ask questions of my readers, and I don't give answers. I just ask questions.
Leave it open-ended. All right.
Yeah. So I guess that's where the curiosities.
Okay. Now you are familiar with the adage that curiosity killed the cat, because it comes down to this is a concern for your safety here is what we're concerned with.
Well, fortunately, I'm not a cat.
Okay.
So.
Good point. All right. Well, we're on that subject. Well, tell us a little bit about the artist that you mentioned. Shannon Faber. Is that how you say it?
That's correct.
Uh-huh. And does she wear a lot of black? She seems like she would.
She does wear a lot of black, but she's not like a death rock girl or like a, well, that's what we used to call it back in my day was death rock. I guess that's goth.
Okay.
Whatever you would call it, emo, whatever.
Tattoos, piercings.
She's got a lot of tattoos, but she's more of like a, she's a little bit of a hippie.
Okay.
I guess, but not like a hippie.
Uh-huh.
I don't like classifying people, but she does. She wears a lot of black.
Gotcha. All right. I could just kind of tell from what I saw, but yeah, tattoos and piercings. I know the type. My sidekick, Cowboy over there, he's got a tattoo, but he don't like to talk about it. So we'll go away from that conversation. So this book is a publication. Is this your first time doing something like this?
Yes. Yes. And it's incredibly scary thing to do. To put yourself out there in this way.
Yeah, definitely. Did you have an editor of some sort, or you just...
We did have a gal sort of do a little bit of editing, but we ultimately ended up doing it all ourselves.
Uh-huh. Self-published.
And just we had a publisher for a while that ended up, they were kind of dragging their feet you know, and we finally got frustrated. Like, this book was supposed to be out like last year, and I'm actually glad it didn't come out last year, because it gave us time to step back and really make it more what we wanted it to be, you know, as opposed to rush it out there and get it out there to for people to read. Ultimately, I think it was the best. It was in our best interest to hold back and self-publish it.
Okay. All right. So it's been a new experience, and you're going to wait and see how this one does. You got some other ones already in the works.
I do kind of want to do, I have some ideas. I've got some outlines and some things that I've written, quite a few poems that I've written since putting this collection together.
Okay. Good. Volume 2.
But I definitely will. I kind of want to do an actual graphic novel. Like, this book is sort of going to be presented similar to a graphic novel, although it's poetry and short stories and things of that nature. Uh-huh. But the way that it will look will be, or will feel, will be similar to a graphic novel.
Okay.
And
panels and word balloons and that sort of thing?
No, nothing like that. Okay. Just, you know how a graphic novel, a soft cover graphic novel, feels in your hands?
Sure.
Like that. That's what I mean.
Okay. So, all right. Well, cool. Do you have a particular demographic that you're kind of gearing this towards?
I'm gearing it towards Five Iron fans, because that is basically the audience that I have.
Okay, built-in fan base. All right.
Yeah, but I would think that it would be geared more towards people who appreciate poetry and prose and sort of darker literature.
Okay. Now, I've heard poetry, to be appreciated, needs to be read aloud. Do you agree with that? And do you think you're going to be doing any kind of public readings? Around places around the Denver area, do they like that sort of thing?
Yeah, well, so we've got we're going to do a public reading, and the there's going to be prints and originals for sale.
Okay.
We're going to kind of present it as like an art opening,
sure,
like gallery format, but it's going to be at Ananda Art and Tattoo.
Okay.
That's on September 29th. And that's on 38th Ave in Old Town Wheat Ridge in Denver, Colorado. Well, in Wheat Ridge, Colorado.
Okay. How do you spell that, the name of that place?
I think it's Anada, Ananda.
Okay.
And I've talked to a gentleman at Mile High Comics, and I might do a little something there. And then there's a place called Mutiny Now in Denver that I'd like to try and get in to do a book opening there. But I don't have anything scheduled for that.
Okay. Mutiny Now. That sounds like a pirate hangout. But is this like a stage and everything they got there? Or?
No, it's like an independent bookstore, basically. Oh, nice. Lots of used books and things of that nature.
Okay. All right. So no, not doing any readings at roadside museums with the curiosities and the derangements. Maybe a good platform.
I would love to do that at like a wax museum or some creepy place
that.
I think that'd be a great,
agree.
A great environment for this type of thing.
All right. Well, listen, do you have a printed copy? You got a proof copy there with you?
I do, actually.
Well, I almost hate to ask this, but do you have a favorite selection or excerpt from the book you want to share on the podcast with us?
Sure. I have a poem called TikTok. And I can read that for you guys.
All right, go for it.
Tick, tock, tick. The waiting makes me sick. The uncertainty of this, of which I can't predict. This clock's speed is mocking me with its tick, tock, tick. Aren't we all just biding our time, guilty of nefarious crimes? Aren't we all just grasping at straws? Aren't we all just winter waiting for thaw? Aren't we all just screaming at a wall? We're the blind leading the lame. Aren't we all just the same? Legless, trying to walk again. Lumbering toward futility. Clamoring for our own ability. A prerequisite for our destiny. We're not worth the bother. Our conventions are cannon fodder. Liberty stood accused and we shot her. Wisdom spoke reason and we shot her. Love gave unconditionally and we shot her. Truth stood with open arms and we shot her. We fight an enemy we can't even see, in a place we don't deserve to be, where death is swallowed up by victory, and death has swallowed up my victory, and we are all swallowed up by victory.
All right, man. Hey, it's powerful. I felt kind of cold and a little bit lonely listening to that.
Well, it came from a cold and lonely place.
I got you. I felt it. I felt it. Well, personally, I'm a Dr. Seuss fan, and who's the other guy? That Silverstein, Shel Silverstein.
Shel Silverstein. Yeah. Oh, I love Shel Silverstein. Yeah.
Well, you got You got any other favorite poets or songwriters you like?
Yeah, my favorite poem is a poem called "The Tiger" by William Blake.
Uh-huh.
Some of the lyrics are actually in one of the Five Iron songs, "Every New Day."
Okay.
Which is actually the first time I'd ever heard that poem. Reese is actually one of the folks responsible for sort of piquing my interest in poetry and prose. And so I read that poem, and it shook me to my core. I love it. It's one of my favorites. I like Charles Bukowski as well. He has a poem called "Too Soon" that I like.
Uh-huh.
Ann Sexton, Dylan Thomas. There's a new hip hop artist and poet, British girl. Her name is Kate Tempest.
Mm-hmm.
And she is fantastic. Like, I love everything she puts out. Everything I've read and heard from her is just really good.
Very nice.
And you know, there's a lot of the sort of tropes, you know, like Robert Frost. It's a little cliche to say you like Robert Frost just because he's sort of the quintessential American poet.
Right.
You know, but I mean, I love "Stopping by Woods on a Snowy Evening" is a great poem, you know. I mean, you can't turn your nose up at it. And of course, Edgar Allan Poe and writers like that are what I tend to gravitate towards.
Sure. Yeah. Well, those are the classics, I guess. Some of those guys. Good. All right. Well, hey, we're looking forward to this. And well, since this is a superhero podcast most of the time, what do we let me ask you a couple questions dealing with superheroes. So if that's all right.
Yeah.
So sometimes we get superheroes on here who actually have superpowers, and sometimes they don't have superpowers, like me and Cowboy. But if you did happen to have superpowers yourself, do you have one that you would want that to be, or more than one?
I think I would like to manipulate time and space.
Oh, that's a good one.
You know, and I'd also like to force people to do my will, kind of like a Mr. Purple.
Okay.
Type of thing, you know, where I tell them to do something and they can't help but have to do it.
Yeah, I got you. Very good. Well, that kind of answers the next question. So, if you did have them powers of time manipulation and you know, psychic control over folks, do you think you'd use them powers for good or for evil?
I think I'd be more like a Machiavellian type of character, you know.
Anti-hero.
Sort of doing evil for the greater good. Definitely an anti-hero, sort of like an Ozymandias or, you know, like a Jason Todd, Red Hood type of character, you know?
Oh, yeah.
A little bit vigilante.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Gotta be a vigilante, whether you're a good guy or a bad guy, I think. So this sounds like a very complex sort of character. Do you think have you thought of a name for the somebody like that, if that's what you had?
Well, I looked into some of the Greek and Egyptian Norse gods, so I'm sort of interested in that sort of, you know, folklore and mythology. And there's a character called Aeon, or a goddess called Aeon, but there's already a video game called Aeon, so I thought Aeon would be cool.
Okay.
You know, sort of an ageless being that existed before time and space.
Yeah.
And, you know, it happens to end up on Earth and is sort of manipulating things to sort of move the needle forward.
Okay.
So to speak.
Yeah. Well, this sounds like kind of a serious hero, but if it was more of a corny or cheesy superhero, would it have a would he have a catchphrase of any kind?
Man, I hate catchphrases, dude.
We'll
I
skip that.
seriously, I hate catchphrases so much. Like, anytime I'm watching like a good movie, it's like an action movie, and some guy pulls out some one-liner, you know, like the hero pulls out some one-liner or something like that. There are very few and far between examples of that that I actually like.
Where they
Otherwise,
can pull it off.
it takes me right out of the movie. You
Oh
know what I
yeah,
mean?
I know what you mean. It's kind of a dated, dated technique, I guess. Kind of campy. Yeah, I got you.
Exactly.
Well, I like the
You
idea
know.
of it being an ageless, sort of mythological character. Do you think the costume would reflect that? Because we got this out of work artist that maintains our website. And he often does a rendering of the guest. So just be forewarned if he listens to this and comes up with something, maybe you could, what kind of influence would you like to have over the design of the costume?
You know, was it Dr. Manhattan in Watchmen? Like I mean, I don't want his, you know, his wang hanging out or anything like that, like Dr. Manhattan, but like I love that he's sort of formless. Like he's it's not that he's formless, but he doesn't really he has he's kind of like apart from him being blue, there's nothing that he doesn't really have like a get up or anything like that. He's just this being.
Kind of generic. Okay, I see what you're saying.
I know. Okay, so I love Alan Moore. So, Watchmen is, you know, one of my favorites. I love The Killing Joke. So I love his take on just about everything. And as far as art goes, I love the way that Rorschach looks. I love that he's filthy and dirty, and just kind of like this, bleh, you know what I mean? So I kind of like that too, although I don't know that that would fit that character very well.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. I see what you're saying. Okay. Well, very cool. We'll see if he comes up with something. All right. Oh, I was going to ask you about the book. If anybody wants to pre-order this book, is it going to be available like that? Or you got any kind of digital downloads or anything like that that's going to be available ahead of time?
No digital downloads. This is a book that I want people to have in their hands. I want them to have that tactile experience of reading a book. It's pre-sale started, so by the time this podcast airs, it will have started on July 27th. And it's at ink-and-t.com. So inkandt.com with a dash in between each word.
All right, tea like a drink.
Yeah,
Okay.
ink, and it's not an ampersand. It's actually the word and. So ink-and-t.com.
Okay, we'll put that link in the show notes. So you got any other social networking or other
I'm sorry.
web pres any other kind of web presence you want people to know about or where they can reach you?
Ink and T also has a Instagram page, and then I do the Five Iron Frenzies Instagram page. So that's an easy way to reach me, is to hit me up on there. I'm pretty good at responding to people, and I try to be as expeditious as possible in regards to getting back to people. So
All right, very cool. We'll put those things in the show notes so people can get there easily.
don't forget to check out my book, man.
Yes.
October the book comes out October 1st. Ink-and-t.com. Go pick it up.
Yeah, man. All right, we're going to be promoting that here all over the place on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and whatnot. And well, hopefully maybe we can touch base with you again once it comes out, and maybe I'll make it to one of them concerts down here in the South if you guys tour down this way. I know Nashville shows done sold out. That's a shame, but
Dadgummit.
dadgummit, but y'all come out with a new album, maybe we'll be touring again. So,
Indeed.
well, very good. Well, thank you for taking the time to talk to us. We'll hope everybody enjoys listening. If y'all got any questions you want to write in or suggest other people you want us to interview, send us an email at redmulletmovie@andrewchandler.net.
Isn't that cool?
I like talking to that fella, even though I admit I was a little starstruck at first. I hope things go well for him in his new book, and I hope he keeps banging them drums for all new generations of ska kids. And most of all, I hope y'all will join us next time when we get back to interviewing more unsung heroes and unrepentant villains on the Red Mullet Podcast.
This has been a Monumental Flounder production, produced by Andrew Chandler. Special thanks today to Andy Vadeccio. Red Mullet and Cowboy created by Jay Jupe. For more Red Mullet content, go to andrewchandler.net.